This is Michael Edward Miller for WTC. It's election season in Hamilton County. Early voting is underway right now, and the official election day is coming up August 4th. On that day, you can pick up a Republican or a Democratic ballot and choose candidates for the U.S. House of Representatives, the state legislature, the Hamilton County Assessor of Property, the school board. There are a lot of choices. Today, in this segment, we're going to get just an overview of the whole election. David Martin joins us. He writes about politics for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. David Martin, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So it seems like one of the most interesting kind of overall aspects to the local stuff that's going on. A lot of new people in this race, a lot of people with no previous political experience challenging some incumbents.
Yeah, I really think that if you look at a lot of these races that are happening across the area, that is an overarching kind of takeaway from this, is that we've got a lot of new names on ballots, a lot of people who are running for the first time, a lot of youth and energy. And I think that's very good overall for the body politic in the Hamilton County region, is that we're seeing some new names with some new perspectives stepping up and wanting to serve their friends and neighbors in various offices.
And it seems like Sanders has actually had an effect here. I know two of the candidates that I've talked to, the Democratic candidates, Christy Wilkinson and George Ryan Love, both seem to have that Sanders vibe. And I believe both said that they were inspired somewhat by Sanders.
Yeah, Christy Wilkinson for sure. And, you know, she is a candidate running in the Democratic primary for the state Senate 10th district seat. Against Nick Wilkinson, who works in City Hall here in Chattanooga, and then Ty O'Grady, who I believe is a Cleveland native. And she really does kind of take on that mantle of a Bernie Sanders-esque candidate. And she has made quite a bit of noise in this primary campaign. She really, really, really wants to have a chance to debate all of the Democratic candidates. I think recently there was a recent debate that took place up in Cleveland, and Ty O'Grady was there, but Nick Wilkinson was unable to attend that debate. And she, Christy Wilkinson, called Nick out publicly, actually, yeah, on a local news website. And then apparently that's gained some traction. There was a letter to the editor last week in the Times Free Press, their words, not mine, calling him a coward, end quote, for not showing up to that. And she's really trying to make as much noise as possible to kind of position herself into this kind of the Democratic landscape here. And I think, honestly, this race, this primary race for the Democrats to see who gets to take on Todd Gardenhire in November, I really think that the voters, Democratic voters in this area, would be well served to see all three of these candidates debate one another, because they really are three different types,
yes,
of Democrats. They're not just all run-of-the-mill. I mean, you've got Ty O'Grady, who says he's a libertarian Democrat. And when I first heard that, I thought, well, this guy's got to be confused. Most libertarians, if they affiliate, they normally do on the right side, mm-hmm, with the Republicans. And so you got a libertarian running against Christy Wilkinson, who is takes on the mantle of the Bernie Sanders kind of feel, against Nick Wilkinson, who has the blessing of, I think, the more entrenched Democrats here,
yeah,
in town.
I mean, he's got a lot of experience in government at this
point.
He does.
But if you go on his website, he doesn't even mention in the issues section Insure Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah. And so you look at these three and you're like, there's some stark,
yeah,
a possibility for some stark differences.
And that's what, for listeners who aren't familiar, Insure Tennessee, that was actually Haslam's plan to get insurance for Tennesseans who are kind of falling in the Medicaid gap. They don't make absolutely no money, but they make so little money that they can't afford insurance. They're making too much money to afford insurance. It sounds counterintuitive, but that's, yeah,
yeah, too much privately, but too much to get government subsidized.
And Gardenhire was one of the ones who voted against it, and the reason why it never really came up for a full vote in the General Assembly.
Exactly. Now, you better believe it that whoever wins on the Democratic side during the primary, one of the first things that they're going to do is call for a debate with,
yeah,
Todd Gardenhire.
Yeah.
They have thrown darts at him saying, you know, you're not held accountable for the votes that you make and things like that. And so they're going to want to bring him out, and they're going to want to offer a contrast between themselves and the incumbent. Really, I think Ensure Tennessee is going to be the big one that they're going to harp on, whoever wins on the Democratic side, as well as there's some additional things. I don't think that they're going to stick very well, but Gardenhire was one of the state legislature who came out very loudly and had some comments about defunding the Office of Diversity in Knoxville at,
right.
at UT. And so I think that he has drawn a bullseye on his back, and I think that they're going to be very willing, the Democrats, that is, to see who gets to take the shots and do it very publicly.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with David Martin, columnist for the Times Free Press. And one of the things you've been writing about in your column that you think is one of the most important aspects of all this, the school board races, something that I think normally people wouldn't really think about is having a huge impact, but you've outlined some reasons why maybe it really does.
It does, and it is easy for us to think, oh, well, it's the school board. That's just something that's related to the Department of Education,
yeah.
right? Or I don't have kids, so what do I care?
Yeah.
Or my kids go to private school, what do I care? And my argument is that the Hamilton County Department of Education is an anchor institution in this community. And so the policies that are set forth, the guidance that is prodded forth through the school board, that actually affects everybody living in this area. Whether or not you have kids or they go to public or private school, that's irrelevant. It really is. What they do impacts everybody. And I really feel that there should be more interest placed in the school board races here. I think there are some entities around town who have tried to draw more attention, and kudos to them for that. But I really do think that this is something that is worth a lot of attention. You know, in the past couple years, Hamilton County Department of Education, there's been a lot of tumult, right?
Oh,
you
yes.
know, from the terrible situation that unfolded out at Etowah, to the superintendent stepping down. And now we've got this opportunity for four seats possibly to turn over, four out of nine. That's very substantial. And so I think this is a very momentous time for the Department of Education, especially when we're thinking about who is going to be the next superintendent, right? And so this is of consequence to a lot of different people. And it's been very encouraging to see the different types of people who have stepped up. I thought one thing that is very interesting is in a very rare occurrence, both the Times and the Free Press side of the editorial page at the TFP not only recommended that three of the four be unseated, but they all, or both the Times and the Free Press, both their suggestions for all three of those to fill those potential vacancies were the same.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to watch how this one unfolds.
So one of the most interesting aspects of this race, something I think most people never would have seen coming, the assessor of property, the Hamilton
right.
County assessor of property, and specifically the issue of a senior tax freeze, which keeps coming up in the debates between the Democratic and Republican candidate, even though the assessor of property would not have the power to enact a senior tax
yeah,
freeze.
Yeah, this is a new tactic. I don't think I've ever seen it put into effect like this. But yeah, the Democratic challenger, Mark Shedletsky, has become a very strong advocate of instituting a senior tax freeze in Hamilton County. And that is all well and good. However, the assessor of property has no jurisdiction whatsoever about enacting this.
Yeah.
But the thing is it's gotten a little bit of traction. It has gotten a lot of people asking questions about what is this tax freeze and why don't we have one
yeah.
here when other municipalities and counties have instituted one over the past few years. And it's a very shrewd, I would say probably a very calculated move on Shedletsky's part, because there's an age-old rule in politics, and that is if you're explaining, you're losing.
Huh.
So he's been able to kind of push this out there, and that's put his opponent, Marty Haynes, county commissioner,
yeah.
on his heels to explain. And it's a very detailed, it really is. If I tried to explain it to you right now, sitting in this room, every single listener out there would fall asleep.
That's what we go for in radio, though, is help
right?
people fall asleep.
We are audio ambient.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's the thing is Marty Haynes has had to say, well, taxes haven't gone up since 2007, when this was made possible by a constitutional amendment that was voted on by Tennessee voters. Well, Shedlinski is then able to say, well, people's tax bills have gone up.
Yeah, because their property bill, or the assessment of the property,
the assessed value has gone up, right? And so, but here, we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
We're having to explain between the two of us. And in politics, when you get past the average attention span of most Americans, which is, you know, 10 seconds, people's eyes start glazing over. And so it's been interesting to watch. You know, I don't know if this is going to play out the way that Shedlinski is wanting it to, which is for him to win. You know, in Hamilton County, there's a lot more Republican voters than Democrat voters when you get away from the city center, right?
Right.
But it has done an effective job of drawing attention to a campaign that most people, I'm assuming, didn't even know existed before the past few months.
And I think it's interesting because it seems like, all in all, Haynes and Shedlinski agree on much, much more than they disagree on.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the assessor's office is not a sexy office. They have a very tightly defined set of things that they actually can influence, right? So in order to attract attention to a campaign, it takes something that's maybe a little bit unconventional or off the wall, which is what we've experienced right now.
That's David Martin. He writes a column for the Chattanooga Times Free Press, former history professor here at UTC. Interesting, I think several of the candidates either have current or former UTC connections. Christy Wilkinson, she was teaching here for a while.
A humanities professor, yeah.
I believe Ty O'Grady taught here for a little while. Who else?
Michael Friedman is a PR professor.
Yes, in the comm department currently.
Yeah, he's currently there, which I found interesting that he's a PR professor and he doesn't have a website for his campaign. maybe there's a tactic to that I'm unfamiliar with. He probably knows better than I do about that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think there have been quite a few academics or academically inspired people who have kind of come over into the political realm right now. I really think that this has been a breath of fresh air when it comes to the fact that we're seeing a lot of new names, new places, or from new names with new perspectives, throwing their names down on ballots and really bringing some perspectives to some races that otherwise could have been a very stale election season.
And Friedman, I think it's interesting. He's originally from New York, New Jersey. You talk to him, you can still hear that accent.
Yeah.
And I think it says something interesting about the South that even today, there's still a lot of people here who are kind of hesitant to trust somebody they perceive as being a Yankee.
Yeah, or just outsiders, right? I mean, over in the 4th Congressional District, I mean, we saw Scott Desjarlais throw the word carpetbagger out at Grant Sterrett just out of the gate, you know?
Yeah.
And Sterrett, you know, he hasn't been in the area very long. I mean, he just relocated into the 4th District in 2015. So he kind of made it easy on himself to be portrayed that way. But yeah, we still do kind of have this thing about us where we like to feel like we know the people that we're electing and we've known them for a while.
Right, right.
So, but again, I think that there's something to be said for that. But then also we're getting back to the fact in these local races that we're seeing a lot of names that we haven't seen in a while. So we'll see how that plays out moving forward.
And that brings me to the candidate I would consider the most interesting and the ultimate outsider, Alan Levine. He is a U.S. citizen, but you listen to him talk, you can tell he's originally from London.
Right.
But he doesn't actually live here. He's running for Fleischman's seat, but he lives near Atlanta.
Yeah, I would love it if somebody would educate me on why this is a thing. He's run in Tennessee, he's run in Hawaii, he's run in Georgia. And if you're anywhere in the United States and you feel like you've been left out of the Levine sweepstakes, he could be coming to your district soon. You never know. But it's one of these things. It probably has, I could be speculating a little bit too much here, but it might have something to do with the fact that when congressional districts were first being drawn in the olden times, population centers might have been very dispersed, and in order to run for an office, there might not have been that many qualified people to run in one district over. So who knows? But yeah, I think it's a very interesting caveat, and I wasn't aware of it until about 3 or 4 years ago, when there was a minute's worth of speculation after Weston Womp first lost to Chuck Fleischman that he might consider running against Scott Desjarlais in the 4th district, which isn't that far away, right? And so I thought, well, that's the most interesting thing I've ever heard of, somebody running in a district they don't live in. That can't be possible. And not only is it, they don't have to live in the district, they don't have to live in the state.
Yeah, yeah.
So Levine, hey, maybe one day
I think if he did win the Republican nomination, he would have to move to Tennessee to actually be in the general election.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be interested in meeting him.
Yeah. So Mike Carter, right. He is the incumbent right now. He's being challenged, and it seems like annexation has become a hot-button issue in that race.
Yeah, that's become his big rallying cry right there is annexation, or now actually de-annexation. You know, yeah. Mike has held his seat since it first became a seat in 2013, the 29th House District, which is the easternmost and northernmost parts of Hamilton County. And so when he got into office, the issue that he really keyed in on was annexation reform, the way in which new areas that are not currently a part of a municipality, how they may or may not be incorporated into a municipality. Mm-hmm. So he was he and Bo Watson kind of tag teamed this issue and were able to institute some annexation reform, which was met with a loud round of applause, I think, across the state in many corners. The next session of legislative session that took place, Mike started going after de-annexation. So areas that had been annexed, citizens whose land had been annexed without being asked, whether or not they have the ability to vote via referendum, whether or not they can de-annex to get out of these city limits. And so that I talked with Mike not too long ago about his plans. De-annexation kind of fizzled in the most recent legislative session, and he has told me that if reelected, that's something that he's going to be going after again, kind of applying some lessons learned from the most recent foray. But again, he's got a challenger, another example of the youthful feel that is being injected into a lot of these races. Ethan White, who says he is the youngest elected official in Tennessee.
Collegedale, isn't it?
Collegedale. He's a city commissioner in Collegedale. He's a realtor out there. He's taking on Mike Carter. And again, I don't know if his campaign is getting the traction that he'd hoped it would, but another example of a new name that we're going to see a lot more of moving forward.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with David Martin, columnist for the Times Free Press, and you've been covering the elections locally. What else do you think is going on that's interesting? What else do you think is going on that's important? Because even though I know it's nothing but wall-to-wall Hillary and Trump every day on the news, these local elections, these local representatives, they probably have a lot more to do with your daily life than who's going to be president.
They do. I mean, honestly, if you look at the way that the national political narratives are unfolding, we're seeing a Republican Party on the national scale that is, if you strip away the nativist sentiment on the right, on the GOP side, the Trump candidacy is not too far removed from some of the things that are being, some of the policies that are being pushed on the left, on the Democratic side. And so I really honestly think that no matter which one of the two, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, wins in November, we're going to see a continued growth of government. What really is going to impact our lives in a more nuanced way are these local elections. Who is setting the policies for the local schools? Who is in Nashville, who is voting for Medicaid expansion or not? Who is going to push back against broadband expansion? These are things that are going to impact the day-to-day lives of people living in this area. And so it's oftentimes not as sexy coverage for these local elections, but I do honestly feel that the government closest to you impacts your daily life more than any of the other governments, right? All the fireworks are on the national stage, but really the people that are running for these offices, your neighbors, the people you pass, you probably do pass on the street. If you live downtown, if I walked from my work to get lunch, there's a good chance I'm going to pass three of these candidates. And that says something about the real intimate feel of local politics. And it's not just an intimate feel. It really is a very powerful, intimate connection to what they are going to advocate, how it affects my life.
Well, and I think one of the challenges also is, you know, on the national scale, it's you've got two sides, you've got two people, Hillary and Trump. It's really easy to just break it apart into those two dynamics. On a local level where you've got more than a dozen candidates, mm-hmm. it's much harder to keep track of who's who and who stands for what.
Right. And a lot of these candidates don't fit in the traditional left-right paradigm.
Yeah.
Ty O'Grady being one of mm-hmm. them, a Democrat libertarian, or the fact that the Times and the Free Press are both endorsing a Democratic candidate and Tiffany Robinson for school board. So the narratives break down the closer you get to ground level, and we see that here. And for a lot of people, I think that's a refreshing take on politics.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So just to recap there, on August 4th, although early voting is actually going on right now, so you could certainly vote today, there's going to be a chance for you to vote in the Republican or Democratic primary, or you can just vote in the general election. So really three different things going on. You go to your polling place, you can say, I want to vote in the Republican primary. You can do that, and you'll vote in the general as well. You can say, I want to vote in the Democratic primary. You'll do that and vote in the general as well. Or you can say, I just want to vote in the general election. It's a lot to take in. It can get pretty confusing. I totally understand that. So please visit the Hamilton County Election website. If you do that, if you visit the Hamilton County Election Board's website, you can see sample ballots, find out your voting precincts, and get all sorts of useful information like that. I am Michael Edward Miller. You're listening to WUTC.